to make sure you get a chance to meet J.C. Wanner. J.C. Is a parent family educator with NDSU. Now, what we're here to talk about is craft. It's a skills group for the people who have loved ones who use substances. Now, the skills group is 12 weeks long with a different topic each week. In other words, you've got someone that needs help and you want to give them help and you don't know how to give them help is exactly how I'm going to take it. And my read might be wrong, but that's what we're looking for. JC, good to have you on News and Views.
Hi, good morning. It's good to be here.
It's best described by you. I'm not the one that's supposed to be describing it. Can you tell people what CRAFT is?
So CRAFT is a community reinforcement and family training. And so it's compassionate. You learn skills to be compassionate towards your loved one who uses substances or alcohol. It's non-confrontational, so it's all about keeping that relationship and building that relationship with your loved one. It's evidence-based, so there is research that shows that this works to help your loved one with their substance use and to overcome their substance use. And it's also helpful because the person taking the class learns skills to help them be happier and live a better life as well.
With the level we have of substance abuse and the sheer recognition that we're willing to acknowledge now, you know, there has to be a great number of people other than the abuser or the user that are affected, is my guess, JC.
Yeah, so the people that have been in my group or have taken the groups that are offered in North Dakota right now are parents of adult children or younger children, too, that are using substances, their significant others, their siblings, their friends, and they really want to help their loved one, but they really also want to maintain that relationship. Like the people that are in my classes, they love these people a lot, and so they want to help them because they love them and want to spend time with them. And using alcohol or drugs has gotten in the way of that. And so they are kind of at a loss and want to build those skills so that they can have that relationship they once had back.
Okay, so how do they learn it? I mean, give me examples of if I'm sitting in that classroom and each week I have a different subject, what am I going to be subjected to? What am I going to get out of that classroom?
Yeah, so the biggest thing we talk about, and that's kind of the first thing we dive into, is how to communicate positively. And so communication is hard, right? And so we talk about what these I statements are. And because sometimes when things get stressful, we start saying you statements. So a simple one could be like, you never put the dishes away. So we start with that statement, like, you never do the dishes. And we try to switch it so it can be an I statement. So I feel annoyed when the dishes are left out because I feel like you don't respect me. And so we start there, and then we build to you are always drinking, you're such a drunk, I can't believe you. So, and then we walk through that into how can we change that to an I statement. So I feel really hurt when you choose to drink instead of keep our plan. Can you let me know the next time that you plan to drink so that I have the opportunity to make different plans? And so we really work through that. All of the participants in our classes get workbooks. And so they're able to look at their story and look at their life circumstance and really write down what skills and what fights or what you statements come out in their daily life. And then they can talk through those. And we work on how we can change those to I statements so that we can communicate better. I just had a member of my class send me an email yesterday. My class got over in May. And she just wanted to follow up and send me an email. And I asked her if I could share this. So this is, I have her permission. But she said, wow, that class really worked. My daughter entered treatment for her drug use. And they were able to have some counseling sessions over the phone. And her daughter made the statement, I love my new mom because she is so much easier to talk to, and I don't feel ashamed when I talk to her anymore. And so she said, if my mom is willing to take a class so that she can communicate better with me and learn these skills, I'm willing to give rehab a try. And so it was just a really great testimony of how powerful this craft class is for the loved ones who want to support people that are using substances that are in their lives.
So, JC, I want to go back to an earlier part of our conversation. You use the word user, and I use the word abuser. And my guess is I was wrong and you were right in terms of the vocabulary. And I want to give you an opportunity to speak to that.
Yeah. So we want to use person first language because people are not their problems, right? So I usually give the example of diabetes, right? It's a person with diabetes. We want to get away from saying diabetic. Same with the term addict. They are a person first. So they're a person that uses substances. They're a person that uses alcohol. I actually have a list here that I can go through of a few ones. So like an untreated addict or an alcoholic, we could say a substance user or an individual who hasn't entered recovery yet. Instead of saying like substance abuse, a substance use disorder, a drug of choice, saying like, oh, their drug of choice is this. They abuse this drug, a drug of use. So we just want to keep that person first language. And while we are all human, these words, the term addict, the term abuser are thrown around quite a bit. And so we're human. We've heard them. And so it's just trying to make that conscious effort to switch our minds to say, oh, they're a person first. We respect this person first. And they might happen to use substances too.
You talk about family, and my suspicion is a lot of what we're talking about is day-to-day interaction. What about individuals that don't have day-to-day interaction but have, you know, interaction or just simply want to help? I'm gonna give an example that one of the people that are near and dear to me in my life that has recognized that his problem, and I don't even know if problem is the way to put it, his use. Okay, I'm learning as we speak. So, you know, he's recognized his use and the detriment it's making on his life. And just some guys got together and said, you know what? We're going to get together more often. We're going to get together more often, whether we golf, whether we fish, whatever we do, because quite frankly, it's made me as happy as I think the other individuals who do it. And so is that an example, or am I going a whole different direction, JC?
No, that's wonderful. And so I'll go back to when you said identified a problem. So the identifying a problem is the first step. And how do we know something's a problem? Is if it's affecting someone's life. So one of the first things we talk about in craft is, does my loved one have a problem? And the question is, because that looks different for everybody, and so our question is it affecting your life negatively? Is it a problem? Then it is a problem. So if this friend of yours has able to say, I have a problem, that's huge. That's a great thing. And so, yeah, so craft would really encourage family members and friends and people that are in their life to do those activities. We want to replace using substances with golfing. We want to replace using substances with going to the movies and spending time together. That is a great opportunity. And we actually, there's a section in craft, and that's one of our weeks is devoted to identifying activities that you might have previously done with your loved one that hasn't happened for a while because they've been using substances and things have just been really tense, or your interactions with that loved one have been really negative, or your chances to be with them have just been arguing and getting upset. So we want to replace all of that arguing with an opportunity to have some fun, to spend some quality time together, to do something good that makes you feel good. So golfing is a great opportunity to spend some time with that friend.
What if he cheats and doesn't pay after we're done?
I don't know. Is that a problem? Do you identify that as a problem?
Yes, I do. I mean, it's a real issue. You know, what I hear you saying, you know, because there are so many people that are living the life that you're trying to help out on that don't know how to do it. They don't. They don't know how to do it. We didn't know how to do it. And what we found out was that we got our friend and our cousin back. And quite frankly, he got us back, because we just got to hang out and talk about things that not use, nothing like that, but just talk about old ball games we were in or what it was like when we were growing up or those type of things. And I love it. I love getting the opportunity. Now, what about if you're not always able to do it? You know, and I want to go back to your class. You know, it's 12-week program. What if they can't make it for 12 weeks? What if they catch 8 steps, because each week is a different step?
Yeah. So each participant in our group is given a free book, and the book is called How to Get Your Loved One Sober. And so they are sent that in the mail just for signing up. And then they also have a workbook. And so if they're unable to make it to all of the classes, that's okay. They have homework. They have worksheets that they can work through on their own. And I had lots of participants who made it to all 12 of my classes. I was actually surprised, because I feel like 12 classes is a little intimidating for people.
It is.
And so I was very shocked when I had my whole group at week 7, and I kind of asked them, I said, guys, I'm actually really surprised that we've all been hanging in there. And they're like, we want to be here because we want to learn more skills to help our loved ones. And so things come up. There's been other commitments, but I was also surprised, because all of my members of my group, if they had something come up, they would email me and say, oh, I'm just so sorry that I can't make it. Is there anything I need to do to make up this time? And so the people in my group were really devoted to learning more, because they also saw that things were improving with their loved one. And they also saw that they were happier. So another one of our sections is how that they can care for themselves while they're also caring for their loved one, because that's part of it, is how can you stay in a position that you are happy and you are cared for? Because if you feel terrible all the time, and you're making your loved one feel terrible because they're using substances, It's not going to go places. It's not going to help them.
JC, can I get you to hang on? I have just a couple more questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. You're not going anywhere. How's that? Yeah. We're going to hang on. Joel Heitkamp here, your host, Abby Miller, your producer. We're visiting with JC Wanner, who is with NDSU, with Parent Family Education, dealing with individuals with problems of use, and use that isn't healthy for anyone. It's a 12-week long program, and JC, I hung on to you because I don't want to goof this up and not give people. A lot of people have a piece of paper and a pen in their hands right now, or a keyboard where they want to type this in. JC, how do they get in touch so they can be part of this program?
So there's a few ways that you can get in touch. So one way is to contact your local extension, wherever your county is, contact your local extension agent, and they can get you plugged in that way. You can also go to www.community.strengtheningtheheartland.com. So this Strengthening the Heartland is a grant opportunity that's all about helping build safe communities in North Dakota and South Dakota.
This interview will be podcast at the home base of News and Views Radio Network at KFGO.com. And my guess is some of the other stations will link to it as well. So the information that she just said will be waiting for you there. JC, in the seconds that I have left, what about those individuals? Because it wouldn't take but 2 seconds for you and I to know the same person. What about those individuals that are afraid to come in, take the class, and basically out the individual that is dealing with issues like this?
So with the world of Zoom, it creates this really great opportunity if you do feel uncomfortable having people know who you are or who your loved one is, you can keep your Zoom screen off and just take the class, and you are able to change your name. I have your information, but I don't have to call you that name in our class, and the other educators don't have to as well. And so this Zoom class opportunity, and we also have in-person classes as well. So if you are worried about people knowing who you are or being in a small community and not wanting people in the community to know that your loved one uses substances, use the Zoom opportunity.
Oh, you're doing a great job. Thank you. Thanks for telling us about